Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Well, Lynette, I think it's safe to say that you and I spend a lot of time helping families prepare for foster placements and adopting. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when that happens, life just changes and we all have to adjust to a new normal when we have a new little one. And although we study and we read everything we can get our hands on before taking in a child, there is still a learning curve in the actual doing.
Oh, agreed. The training weekends that I get to lead, I mean, I love them. They're incredibly comprehensive. And they're a wonderful time to bond with others and get answers to a lot of our questions. But there are some things we just have to learn by jumping in.
That is so true. Because even in the training, when you're overwhelmed with all of the information, you don't even hardly remember some of that stuff until you're in the middle of it.
Right.
And then you think, oh, I should go back and listen to what I had during training.
Well, we started seeing a pattern that every time we'd have a foster mom or a new adoptive mom on the podcast sharing their story, they come up with several things they didn't expect and just had to learn in the process.
Right.
Like some, you know, something that just came out of left field.
Right.
So we'd like to hit a few of those today, and maybe we can help prepare you just from our experiences for the road ahead.
That sounds great. So what's the very first one? Something you wish you knew before or wish you remembered before your placement came.
Yeah, build your tribe. I mean, you and I remember when we started our adoptions. You'd already adopted when I met you once. I'd already adopted once when I met you, but our agency, we both used the same agency. For two of our adoptions, but they encouraged us to do this. But it wasn't. It was really like professional help.
Right.
But as far as building our tribe, I think where we were at that time, the Lord used us to to build the tribe. So we really, when the first time I adopted, I had not met you, I didn't have support. I really didn't. And even though this is discussed in every single training I've been in, the reality of this truly hits us between the eyes when we accept that first placement or we bring that little soul into our family.
Right. So when I think about building my tribe outside of professionals, which I think was a great exercise that our agency made us do, it was a list of who's going to be your pediatric dentist if your kid's teeth are rotting out, or who's going to when they are rotted out, who's going to be your counselor, who's an occupational therapist if they have sensory needs, all of those things. I think it's a really, really great exercise to pre-plan the professionals and contact them that you might need. But on a personal basis, who am I going to call when my child is having a meltdown and it's time for pickup for my other kids?
Yeah.
So I can't get my new one in the car. Who am I going to be able to call and say, I'm dying here, can you go pick up my son?
Yeah.
So who's the person that you're going to call when you've been eating out of the refrigerator until everything is gone, but everything's so overwhelming that you can't even get to the grocery store? Thankfully, they have like Kroger Clicklist now.
Yeah.
Praise
but to
Jesus.
Meal plan, you know, even though if you have the stuff.
Right.
That was the struggle for me, is just to have time to put it all together.
Right.
I was barely getting a shower.
And then who's the person that you're going to, that's going to be really your spiritual support, that you know that you can call and they're not going to ask questions or they're not going to think you're a terrible person because you're having a hard time, but they will faithfully pray for you. So asking yourself and writing them down and then talking to your people and saying that this might be something that I'm going to need when the new placement comes.
And who doesn't love to hear, like, I love you, I enjoy you, I need you.
Right.
You know, I mean, build your tribe.
Yes,
it's
absolutely
encouraging on both sides. You know, Paul clearly teaches the early church that they desperately needed one another. I mean, he knew the overwhelming odds they were facing and that they could not isolate themselves and survive this alone. He told the church in Rome, he said, I long to see you. He tried everything to get to them, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine.
Right.
So it's on both sides.
And there are tons of groups, you know, even when you're getting more foster training once a month, maybe in your county or so those are just great people, salt of the earth people that you can get together and they can, you can, you know, if you don't have those people in your life, you have to step outside of your box,
move out.
And just do it.
That's right. Well, you know, another one that we've talked about before is you may have to choose to love. It may not come natural. And love is not all they need.
That is so true. I remember years ago when we were first adopting, and I remember an adoptive mom coming to my house, and it was her second placement of kind of a surprise baby. So they had brought home a little girl, and then like 12 months later, got a call and said, birth mom is having another baby and wants to know if you would be willing to raise the child.
And that happens.
It does happen. It was terribly unexpected, not necessarily desired, but as they prayed through it, they realized that this was indeed what the Lord had for their family. But she said, I can just remember that my heart wasn't in the planning phase of it, so it was a surprise to me. And I feel like I'm babysitting somebody else's kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so just realizing that those feelings can be there and that you just every day wake up and choose to love and ask the Lord to bind your hearts to your little one.
Yeah. The world will say all they need is someone to love them. Now, they do need that.
Right.
They do need love.
But they need so much more.
Oh, so much more. One thing that I, you're tons better at than I am, is being an educational advocate. Mm. These kids need someone. They're way behind in school,
right,
a lot of them. And they need patience, and they need someone to get in there and fight that system for them.
And, you know, those systems are really confusing. So if you have a child who's behind and they need a 504, kind of the pre-IEP plan where they have to have accommodations at school, did you know that there are actually people who are educational advocates that will that know all the laws in your county,
wow,
all the laws of your school system, and will go to the school with you and sit in meetings and help you develop a plan with the school system?
Well, that person hid from me because I have yet to find that
Well,
person.
I just found out about this like 2 years ago.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. But don't be ashamed to say, I've got to have some help.
Right.
And even setting up a tutor for your child, even if you think you meet with them once a week and your child is doing well, still continue to meet because they could hit that wall and then you've got somebody
right
that your child has built a rapport
and
with.
And they know that they know what's going on with your
right
child.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, kids need strong support. Their little brains can't shoulder, you know, their bodies can't shoulder all this. They need help to help them navigate the brokenness.
Yes.
You think about a family visit, going and seeing your mom, and then being 45 minutes later, you're being yanked out of that room with her. And maybe that visit didn't go well, or questioning birth parent choices.
Right.
We've all had that. Like, why was I placed here? Or why didn't they keep me? Children cannot process that
they
alone.
They can't. And one of the things I wish I had known years ago was to develop a relationship with a therapist of some sort, a counselor, a play therapist, a counselor, psychologist, whoever, that I just set up and built a rapport with. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you're going to be seeing, you know, a counselor once a week for the next 10 years, but you may need 5 or 6 visits for this season. And then in 2 years when they're reprocessing something, then you may say, hey, let's go back and chat with, you know, our therapist and just walk through this together. Then you've already built that rapport with that person instead of waiting and thinking you can handle things all on your own. And then you hit something so big and you don't have a single relationship with that person.
Yeah.
That stinks, let me tell you, from experience.
Yeah, the counseling is a big need that these kids need. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and they'd taken a placement of 3. They'd already raised 2 beautiful, healthy kids, doing great in the world at college, killing it, you know. And I said, get a counselor ASAP. And he was like, man, you're the 4th person that just said that to me. And I mean it with everything I have in me. Get great, wise counseling.
Yes.
It's more important than new curtains.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important than eating out.
Yes.
Get some good counseling.
And somebody who has experience with adoptive and foster families. We've done a podcast on selecting a therapist. You can go back and listen to that because it was really helpful. But just remember that having a counselor that has some experience with adoptive and foster kids, because it's a whole different ballgame.
It is.
And that they're trauma-informed. So they understand what complex developmental trauma is and how it affects your child.
Yeah, it's gotta have that. And we can we'll list some of those things, some suggestions in the show notes. Another thing kids think they really need is, and I'm big on, is daily structure.
Absolutely. Predictability is so important for our children because they already don't know what's coming next. So one of the things that I've just actually recently done is that we got, you know, those wall sticker things that you can get? So I got a wall sticker decal thing that is just Sunday to Saturday. big. It's like a big block one. And so I have one of our kids really still needs predictability. And it also helps with like executive functioning and all those things that they really need to work on.
We cannot live without ours at our house. I don't know if I'm coming or going. Yeah. We don't have that.
So I heard this gentleman who's an executive function coach, and he said on Saturday, he calls it a Sunday night overhaul, SNO. So on Sunday nights, we clear off the entire calendar and then our son writes it in. And this morning he came downstairs and he said, "That calendar was the best idea you've ever had." He said, "I know what's coming and I don't feel like I have to ask you or worry or wonder about what's coming." And he's been in our home since he was 4 years old and he's 13.
Yeah.
So this was it was great for him. So predictability is really, really important for our kids who've had a lot of ups and downs, specifically foster kids who are going back and forth to foster visits. If they can know, okay, on Thursday I'm going to see birth mom, and on Sunday, I'm going to see birth dad, then they can start working in their minds, okay, I've got to gear myself up for this.
Boy, my husband trained me in that, because on Sunday nights and a good once a month, everybody gets their calendars together at our house. And I don't like to do that. As my sister says, I may put that on Wednesday, but I may not want to do that on Wednesday. You know, but it's important for everyone. I noticed when my sons went to college, both of them, they immediately bought big calendars to go on the wall. They learned that at home.
Right.
But it is so important.
So, you know, something that our children also need, I mean, we've talked about this before, is that they need a lot of affirmation.
Yeah, I do too.
Absolutely. We all do. But our children need to see that they are valued and that they are seen and that they are known. And by affirming them, we may even be affirming things in their life that they don't, gifts that they don't even see in themselves.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes they really have a lot of insecurity and a lot of just shame about everything that's gone on, even though it's not been their fault, that's how it comes out. So if I see, you know what, you are a really kind-hearted person. I really appreciate that about you. Mm-hmm. They may not have ever seen themselves as a kind-hearted person, or, you know, whatever the affirmation is that you're giving to them. So by building them up in that way, it's helping them with their self-concept.
I had one change schools this year and go from a smaller school to a big high school, and she can light up a room with her smile. And I'm like, okay, you use that smile and go be light. She goes, "You think so, Mom?" And I went, "No, we've heard, trust me. Now I've put enough money in that smile, but you know, like, it's just something she does naturally.
Right.
You know, and so go use that. Go be light, you know, to hurting people. And with that affirmation, that takes time. Kids need lots of time.
A lot.
You know, and Kevin and I've always said it's not kids and the ministry, it's kids in the ministry, and what you're doing, they do with you.
So there's this exercise that I often have families do when I'm talking to them, and one is just to draw a circle in red. And inside that circle, that is your life. That's everything you do, from work to sleep to ministry to dealing with, you know, everything that's in your life, marriage and family. Then outside of that, draw another circle bigger. That is your, what are your limitations? And you have to ask yourself, how much space do I have between my life circle and my limitation circle?
Yeah, that's good.
So the more I'm filling up my life, so think of it as a balloon, I'm filling it with everything on the calendar, then my limitation circle is not moving. It's not a balloon. It's, you know, structured. It's there. It's like an iron circle. That limitation circle is not going to leave. So the more that you fill up that balloon of your life, your margin in your life is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, you can't spend time, and I'm talking downtime, white space on the calendar where there's nothing going on. You can't spend time like that and connect with your children if you don't have some margin in your life.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Just being aware of that.
Oh, that is, that's a great example. And downtime is important.
Incredibly
important.
I mean,
it really is.
It's something we struggle with.
You do. You just have to plan it in your days, but it just really helps. And something else that, you know, we realized we had to do, we've talked about developmental age and really your mental age and that sort of thing, your emotional age. We have to help kids, especially if they come home a little older, learn to be a kid again.
That's right.
You don't have to go out and and worry about where your next meal is coming mm-hmm. from, or you can rest. It takes a long time, though.
It does. It really does. And I can remember some instances even in our own home where kids were doing and thinking that they were responsible for things that grown-ups were responsible for, waking up early and doing things that they didn't need to be doing or worrying about. And I can remember for probably the first year saying, sweetheart, this is not your responsibility. That let me carry that yeah. for you. Mm-hmm. You can just go outside and play.
Play?
Play? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful when you have other kids because then they can easily teach them how to play.
Right.
But just
right.
having those experiences where you can be goofy with your kid and you can play and you can teach them how to just relax and not feel like they have to carry the burdens of the world on their shoulder.
I think a lot of attachment happens when you're having fun together.
Yes,
you
it
know,
does.
We have jokes about, you know, have having five trampolines, you know, like we're not mechanical people at our house, you know, but we can put a trampoline together. But, you know, just doing that, just jumping and being goofy mm-hmm. with the kids. And of course, it's the safety net.
Right.
Don't send me emails, yes. but we did it in a safe way. But, you know, just falling all over each other and giggling mm-hmm. and laughing, that really helps attachment a lot. Mm-hmm. Having fun together,
right?
You know?
You guys have that great big life-size Jenga thing too with the blocks, so yeah. it's always hilarious too when our kids have been all playing that together. They always think that's the funniest thing ever. But playing silly games, being mm-hmm. watching a movie together, going out on a picnic, just anything that you can do that's going to build that attachment. And just allow yourself to have fun. Everything in the world does not have to be serious. It is okay to go and have fun.
Absolutely. Kids really need that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever even covered this in a training to make sure that you put in margins and time for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we do need daily structure. But that the affirmation and the time that says you, I value you, that you're putting into having fun is huge.
It is. It's a big deal.
It really is.
Well, one of the things that we have to remember that's maybe beyond the training that we had when we were fostering or adopting is to be reminded and rest assured that the Lord chose you for this specific assignment and this particular child for your home and your life.
Yeah.
All of it was handpicked by God.
Yeah.
If I did not believe in the sovereignty and providence of God, I would go nuts
mm-hmm.
because I truly believe that the Lord has, he says that he numbers our days. He knows how many hairs are on my head, all of those things. So where he guides, he equips. And yet he sees the pain and the struggles, and he also sees the joy.
Yeah, listen to Psalm 139. He says, "The Lord, you have searched me and you've known me.
Mm-hmm.
You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways." And I love verse 15. "My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, mm-hmm. when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. And like you just said, Tara, all my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Oh God, how difficult, how amazing your thoughts are for me to comprehend. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up," I love this one because mm-hmm. I can be a worrywart in the night, "but when I wake up, Lord, I'm still with you."
That's right. We are never alone.
We are never alone. And where he guides, like you just said, he totally equips. And mm-hmm. he handpicked these two gals from West Tennessee and Western
That's
Kentucky.
That's right.
To this ministry. Mm-hmm. He sees the pain. He sees the struggles. And he never leaves us. Well, I want to also share, too, in this. We talked about having fun and structure mm-hmm. and lots of time together. But to set boundaries, and what I mean, those are protective boundaries. Mm-hmm. Remember, we're an umbrella placed over our children and our homes. I'm just super simple. So just that visual.
Yes.
Parents don't get a hole. Because if we do, in our umbrella, our kids
right.
are going to get wet,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't let them get wet.
Right.
Boundaries will guard your entire family. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking about with the margins. If we take on too much, it affects everyone, not just the new child that has joined the family, but boundaries will help guard the entire family.
That's right. And you don't always have to agree to drop everything over a hastily made visit or arrangements,
right.
but you can pray for discernment and ask the Lord to help you keep the main things the main things.
Yeah, because especially in foster care, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
And so you can be every day can get full of stuff they want you to do. It's not all mandatory.
Right.
And so just use your help there, your professional help to say, hey, what is mandatory here or what's the suggestion?
Exactly.
You know? And so that will really say we really need time to bond as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that a lot of them are very understanding. They will help you to put clarity on what is mandatory and what's something that maybe you don't have to get the child to that today.
Right. There are a lot of good things, too, that can be going on in our lives that are really good things.
Yep.
But at that moment, when you have a new placement or if you've gone along and then you've hit kind of a bump in the road, it's okay to say those things are good, but they're not great for my family right now. So I'm going to, you know, bring it in and we're going to really kind of, you know, get back to what's really the most important things, the most basic things, so that we can continue to work on our attachment and connection so that we can help them get through this difficult time.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we do this teaching and training where we wish grief looked like this and just a straight line, you know, like put a dot and a straight line and grief ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then we show a slide that says, here's what grief actually looks like.
A squiggly line.
We start a line and it's just a tangled mess.
Right.
It looks like a big yarn ball.
Right.
Because that's how grief is. But if we can just encourage in this to prepare for deep grief and mourning, the goal of foster care is reunification.
Right.
And at some point, that child will probably go back to that home. It may not be a home or a B home like you think you have, and you probably do. They may be put back into a D home, but the goal of foster care is reunification. And even in adoption and foster care happen because of brokenness and loss. And we've got to prepare ourselves to handle that grief.
That's true. So true. And one of the things we have to remember, and it's just like if you've lost someone that you love, like you lost your dad a couple years ago, and you think all of a sudden there's something that reminds you of them. So we recently lost my husband's mom, and my hibiscus bush that was from her, that David's sister gave us, is huge, blooming. And I struggle sometimes in the mornings. It hits me like a ton of bricks. I look out my window and there are these gigantic hibiscus blooms. And momentarily I think, oh my goodness, I've got to take a picture of that and send it to Betty. Well, she's with the Lord.
Right.
But there could be a smell that reminds you of something that you love, someone that you love.
Or
And those things are going to hit your kids like a ton of bricks in really unexpected and terribly bad timing.
Yes.
So they're going to hit at different times, and you have to be prepared to just kind of sit with them during that time where they're remembering or something reminded them of their past. And so being aware that you have to be able to sit in that grief and loss is really, really important.
Man, Jesus really modeled that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked in a podcast before about Peter when he denied him, and then Peter sees Jesus on the shore and he swims to him, and Jesus is cooking fish and he's connecting with him again. But they sit.
Right.
And they sit in that moment. You know, I think about, you know, my kids with missing their birth dad or not having a memory. I miss my dad's hands,
right.
The strength of him. My dad had the biggest, strongest hands. I can't imagine how my children feel.
Right.
You know, and so to give them time
space
and the okay to say, I know you're I'm so sorry you're struggling with that today. And just to sit, like you said, to give them the okay to just kind of linger in that for a little bit.
I love that statement because I think so many times we want to fix it and make everything better because we have this fierce love or loyalty to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is okay to say, I'm so sorry that you feel that way today.
Right.
And leave it at that.
Right.
And let them cry or let them be quiet and not necessarily join into the family fun when they're feeling kind of down, to really give them the space to grieve and then help them to be able to come back.
Yeah. You know, I share this verse, I feel like, just about every other podcast we do, but the Lord told Joel in 2:25, he said, I will return to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may not be this side of heaven.
Right.
I get that. But I know that every day he's returning, mm-hmm. that every day the Lord's speaking into something, that every day, if we have to just sit down and list our blessings or just list what he has done for us, a visual goes for miles mm-hmm. with me and with my children. But the Lord does, Lord, just bring healing. The Lord does return to those things that that our kids have lost.
Right. That's so true. It's just really important to know that you're going to have a lot of training before you foster or adopt. A lot. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to be drinking water out of a fire hose. But many, many, many times we don't realize how important some of those things that we learned. And it really doesn't sink into our bones until we've experienced it. So don't feel bad that you don't know what to do in a situation or, oh my word, that what is going on. Reach out to others.
Right.
You've got people that you can talk to, just like we talked about at the beginning, to build your tribe, that you can go back. There's always learning that can be had and ways that you can learn from somebody that's just a step ahead of
and
you.
And don't feel bad if you have to choose to love.
Right.
And realize they need a lot more than just love.
That's so true.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the Lord chose you for this assignment, mm-hmm. this particular child, like you said. We were handpicked by God to mm-hmm. do this. And that we do need boundaries because so kids will feel protected.
Mm-hmm.
And give ourselves time to mourn.
Right.
And realize that some days you won't feel it and some days it can hit you really heavy on your chest.
That's right.
But the reality of the loss.
It's a journey and we're going to walk through it faithfully.
That's right.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.